Wednesday, May 28th, Vigil of the Ascension. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. Brethren, to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the giving of Christ. Wherefore he saith, ascending on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but because he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and others some evangelists, and others some pastors and doctors, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all meet into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the age of the fullness of Christ. Haydock Commentary. St. John Chrysostom says, "It has pleased Christ to bestow his free gifts upon us, to show that it was not according to any merit of ours." The words also show that Christ is the giver and author of graces, and consequently the true God. We must endeavor by all means in our power to preserve this unity, especially by avoiding jealousy or being envious of the graces which have been given to our neighbor, considering that they all proceed from the same God, who divides to each one as he pleases. He led captivity captive. St. Jerome and others expound these words of Christ delivering the pious souls that had died before his ascension and which were detained in a place of rest, which is called Limbus Patrum, Limbo of the Fathers, sometimes also called Paradise, Abraham's bosom, or prison. He gave gifts to men. Having delivered men from the captivity of sin, he bestowed upon them his gifts and graces. Wherefore he, that is David in Psalm 67, makes use of these words in order to show that these gifts were gratuitous and that no person had a right to complain that another had received more. After this, the apostle proceeds to show that Christ even descended to the lower parts of the earth in order to teach us humility, whence he concludes that we ought to be humble and live in union with our brethren, which is the chief subject of the present chapter. Some indeed he gave to be apostles. It is said in 1 Corinthians 12:28, that God gave some to be apostles, and here it is said of Christ, another proof that Christ is also true God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the age of the fullness of Christ. Of the ancient interpreters, some expound this of what shall happen in the next world after the resurrection, when all the elect shall have bodies every way perfect. And as some conjecture, when all who rise by a happy resurrection shall seem to be about 30 of the stature and age of Christ when he suffered. But others, especially the Greek interpreters, understand this verse of a spiritual perfection in this life, by which the members of Christ's mystical body meet in the unity of faith and increase in grace and virtue by imitating Christ and following his doctrine and example. The Gospel from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. At that time, Jesus, lifting up his eyes to heaven, said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now glorify thou me, O Father, with thyself, with the glory which I had before the world was with thee. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and to me thou givest them, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things which thou hast given me are from thee, because the words which thou gavest me I have given to them. And they have received them, and have known in very deed that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, because they are thine, and all my things are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am not in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to thee." Haydock Commentary. "Glorify thy Son by signs and miracles, lest dying so disgraceful a death, I seem to be no more than another man, that thy Son may glorify thee, that my death may make thee praised and glorified." Christ speaks of himself as made man and the Redeemer of mankind. If we ask who are they who in this sense are said to be given to Christ, it is true only the elect or predestined are given by a special and uncommon mercy. In this sense, St. Augustine says, "They are not said to be given to whom he shall not give life everlasting." Yet not only the elect, but all believers, nay, all men whatsoever, may be said to be given to him, inasmuch as by his coming to redeem all, sufficient helps and means are offered to all men, whereby they may be saved. And inasmuch as Christ came, suffered, died, and offered up his death for all men. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. By these words, our Savior shows that his preaching was directed not to the Jews only, but to every nation of the earth. Are then all saved? Christ has done sufficient for the salvation of all, and if they are not saved, it is the fault not of him that speaketh, but of those that receive not his word. So says St. John Chrysostom. This is life everlasting, that is, the way to life everlasting, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The Arian heretics from these words pretended that the Father only is the true God. St. Augustine and others answer that the sense and construction is that they may know thee, and also Jesus Christ thy Son whom thou hast sent, to be the only true God. We may also expound them with St. John Chrysostom and others, so that the Father is here called the only true God, not to exclude the Son and the Holy Ghost, who are the same one true God with the Father, but only to exclude the false gods of the Gentiles. Both the life of glory in heaven and of grace here consists in the knowledge of God, the former in perfect vision, the latter in faith working by charity. For knowledge of God without keeping his commandments is not true knowledge, but unprofitable knowledge. Glorify thou me, O Father, with thyself, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Glorify me is the same as make me known to men, so that the sense may be, make men know that I had the same glory with thee before the world was created and from all eternity. Others understand that Christ as man here prays that his eternal Father would make known to men that glory which it was decreed from eternity should be given him. That is, that all creatures should be made subject to him, even as he was man and appointed to be judge of the living and the dead. The men whom thou gavest me out of the world, by these we may understand his apostles and disciples. They were thine and also mine, as I am God, and to me thou gavest them, inasmuch as I become man, their Savior and their Redeemer. Had then the Father anything which the Son had not? By no means. But Christ, as Son of God, had from eternity what he had not as Son of Man, because he had not yet taken flesh of his Virgin Mother. All that he had as God he attributes to his Father. So says St. Augustine. Now they have known that all things which thou gavest me are from thee. That is, says St. Augustine, they now know and will know more perfectly hereafter that I myself am from thee, or proceed from thee, and am sent by thee to redeem the world. I pray for them, I pray not for the world. That is, now in this prayer, when I desire special graces and assistances for them to discharge their duty as my apostles. Yet we must take notice that Christ prays for all those who should believe in him. He also prayed for all, even those that crucified him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The prayer I now offer up to thee, O my Father, is all on behalf of my disciples, it is not for the world. I pray not now for the incredulous Jews, nor for such of the Gentiles as shall afterwards believe in me. For them I will pray at another time. At present I speak to thee for my apostles only. They call for my first care, because they are thine, and thou hast given them to me. Jesus Christ prayed with an absolute and an efficacious prayer for all those for whom his prayer was to be heard. He begged for them whatever his Father had predestined to give them, but he asked for nothing that his Father had predestined not to give them. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. St. Augustine says, they must needs be equal to whom equally belong all things and all persons, on which word St. John Chrysostom also says, do you see the equality of Father and Son? And now I am no more in the world. That is, I am now leaving the world, as to a corporeal and visible presence. Yet St. Augustine takes notice that Christ says afterwards, these things I speak in the world. Therefore he was still for some short time in the world. And as to his true invisible presence with his church, he gave us this promise in Matthew 28, behold, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world. Keep them in thy name, whom thou hast given me. Christ as man, says St. Augustine, here asks of his Father to preserve those disciples whom he had given him who were to preach the gospel to the world, that they may be one as we also are. These words cannot signify an equality, nor to be one in nature and substance as the divine persons are one, but only that they may imitate as much as they are able that divine union of love and affection. Here Jesus Christ prays especially that the apostles and his church may be kept in unity of religion and free from schism.